It's the Boss.
In the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Keeping your car clean is simple with inexpensive maintenance that can help keep your car looking like new. O'Reilly Auto Parts has car wash and wax for painted services, as well as interior care products for leather and vinyl, carpet and upholstery cleaner. Visit O'Reilly for Clean Car Month, and their professional parts people will make sure you get the best detailing products for your vehicle. Shop your local store or online at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, joining us now on the Progressive Insurance guest line is one of the mavens of MLB, Charlie Palillo, radio show host on KFNC Houston. Charlie, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Good morning to you both from the Big Apple, as it works out.
Oh, you're still there, lucky guy.
This is a
for another couple hours anyway.
Yeah, roadshow edition of Charlie Palillo. How about that? So you've gotten, did you go to the whole series? Did you see all the games this week?
Yes.
And you, so you've seen the Yankees, Astros. You were there with all the hate being poured down on the Astros. Give us the lay of the land. What was the atmosphere like in the Bronx?
Yeah, it was the Bronx Zoo baseball version. New York, we all get it. I'm a native New Yorker. It's the toughest city on earth. If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. But even by New York standards, I thought it was over the top crass. Not just because you had children at the game, but a general level of decency and civility. The lines were crossed with the relentlessness. I guess one can be impressed by the tenacity of the fan base with the profane chants, the vulgar chants through the game. And, you know, not that I have virgin ears or not that any other fan base should be sanctimonious in Houston or anywhere else. There are unseemly chants directed toward officials or toward hated players on rivals. But the relentlessness of it, the savoring, the crudeness of it, I thought was a bit much. The Yankees win the series 2 out of 3, but the Astros, if you're only as good as your last game, or he who laughs last, Jose Altuve, of all people, on his birthday, no less, with the 3-run homer, so at least the Astros salvaged the 3 games in the series. Basically, it's a couple of 500 teams right now that hope to be winning their divisions, but maybe come September, they're indirectly, meaning not head-to-head the last month of the season, slugging it out for a wild card spot.
You know, Charlie, I love that you mentioned Jose's homer on his birthday. I know Dusty Baker had asked him, have you ever hit one on your birthday? Nope. Went out and did it, and the embrace in the locker room was just a beautiful thing to watch if you're an Astros fan, for sure. I agree with you about the New York fans, and I even heard a lot of New York media saying it's time for the Yankees to stop their whining. Like, let's move on from this. Do you think that a lot of it, obviously everyone's going to the cheating scandal because that was a factor, and they took the Yankees to 7 games and went on to win the World Series. But honestly, do you think more of it is them feeling like Jose Altuve stole the MVP from their beloved Aaron Judge?
That's, to me, the secondary component. But judging from the crowd reaction, I mean, Aaron Judge couldn't hit water falling out of the proverbial boat for a lot of the series, 7 consecutive strikeouts over a couple of games. You know, over that award 4 years, it's a team sport. You know, if this was tennis and their guy was robbed, but the Astros eliminated the Yankees from the playoffs in 2015, the wild card game, 2017, the cheat year in the ALCS, and then 2019 on the Altuve home run. The Altuve home run off Chapman, buzzer, no right. Buzzer. And there's no finding of a buzzer by Major League Baseball. So I guess if you want to be cute about it, Beyond Guard Yankee fans, it's an odd year. 2015, Astros took you out. 2017, Astros took you out. 2019, Astros took you out. SAT question, what's the next year in the sequence? 2021. And I think that in the case of the fans, number one, there's bitterness. There's which side is your bread buttered on. If the roles were reversed, right, Astros fans would be screaming holy hell about the Yankees probably years later. I just don't think with the same level of vitriol. But for the players, while they'll never forget, we never saw any beanball incident type stuff, a couple of pitches inside, but nothing unduly so. There was no target practice at Astro batters. And it's amazing, from 2017, there are only 5 Astros left. right, from that squad, the starting infielders plus Lance McCullers, when you consider that Justin Verlander's not going to pitch this year. So thanks for the memories. I guess at some point the fan base will let it go. Probably never. But I think for the Yankee players themselves, what are they going to do? Yeah, you can't unring the bell. There was never any question about the trophy being handed over. And it was the Yankee offense that did nothing in those games at Minute Maid Park in 2017 and 2019. There was no finding of cheating. And then there's the element of the backstory that while not to the extent, the breadth of the cheating of the Astros that was proven and admitted to by the Astros, but the Yankees and Red Sox had their little incidents earlier in 2017 as well. The Yankees using some video from their Yes Network telecast, the Red Sox with the Apple Watch. So there's definitely some holier-than-thou attached to it. And then the one last element, I think, Carla, is that for a lot of fans at the ball game, you just get caught up with something to do. I just thought all the bleep you chants, in part, replaced the wave as something for Yankee fans to do, including sometimes when the Yankees were up in the middle of mounting a rally. I guess whatever floats your boat. I don't know if it sinks to the level of shameful. It probably does. Maybe I missed it. But at Yankee Stadium over the course of the three games, not one public address announcement, not even one token item on the scoreboard that unacceptable language can result in ejection from the ballpark. Not that I would have anticipated them enforcing it, but to just take it as, well, this is par for the course. Even Aaron Boone, after the first game, talking about, wow, what a playoff environment, this was great, to not even address whatsoever, well, you might have dialed it back a little bit just from a potty mouth standpoint, if nothing else.
We're talking to Charlie Polillo. He's a radio show host on KFNC Houston. Okay, one of the other narratives, of course, is that the Yankees have Gerrit Cole, the standout pitcher that they took from the Astros, and the Astros were able to get the best of Cole and the Yankees last night. How satisfying was it to beat Cole, and do the Yankees have a rotation that gives you confidence about their plight this season?
Now, after Cole, it's one question mark after another, just as the Astros rotation is full of question marks, guys, none of whom have had a good full Major League Baseball season in their career, save Zach Greinke. The Yankees are built to mash. Giancarlo Stanton went crazy in this series. Between he and Aaron Judge, will they do what they are paid to do and stay healthy? Both have had chronic injury problems. Yankees have a good deep bullpen, though the Astros got to it yesterday. Cole, I don't think there's any resentment from the Astros about him leaving. 324 million reasons why. He was here 2 years. The Astros didn't win a World Series in either of them, as Gerrit Cole watched in the bullpen in Game 7 against the Nationals. But the Astros, it was a trickle. They were not gushing, so they didn't need a tourniquet. But a nice Band-Aid after losing the first 2-3 games of the series would have made for an extra long home flight last night had they been swept out of the Bronx. So rather than a crumble in the Bronx, they lose 2 out of 3 and come home. And unfortunate subplot loss this weekend on the Astros side of things. George Springer on the injured list. Blue Jays are in Houston for the weekend, so we'll miss out on the opportunity to have the Houston fans react to Springer's return a bit more kindly than the Yankees welcomed Altuve for the first time since the 2019 ALCS.
Charlie, you talk about George Springer. Obviously, the Astros lost into free agency to Toronto with, the largest free agent contract in Blue Jays history, and he spent all but 4 games this season on the IL. Do you think health for Springer is going to continue to be the biggest concern for him in 2021, and does this make it a little less painful for Astros fans that this is what he's going through?
I guess it should, not with any satisfaction. George Springer, you left us, now you got hurt. He's making $150,000 per game to not play for most of this season so far. But it's why the Astros, reasonably, for all Springer did for them, class act off the field, tremendous player on the field, 2017 World Series MVP. But he does have an injury history. He's played more than 140 games one time in his career, and none of those were in the last 3 years. He's 31 years old with a history of some leg injuries. Now, he's not a big base stealer. But when he loses some of his athleticism, the aging process, the wear and tear, he probably will no longer be a viable center fielder, at least once the back half of the contract rolls in for the Jays in a 6-year deal. Of course, the Astros have their problems in center field where Miles Straw has not been up to the task. They don't have a real good prospect on the horizon unless the Cuban kid they signed, Pedro León, who they have playing shortstop right now in the minors, turns out to be that guy. So it's bygones be bygones. whenever Springer does suit up at Minute Maid Park, I would think he'd get a thunderous ovation. Right. The Blue Jays were trying to make the leap. They made a calculated risk. The back end of that contract could be a disaster, and, of course, so far the front end hasn't been very good either.
We're talking to Charlie Palillo, radio show host for KFNC Houston. All right, I want to shift to the other coast, the L.A. Dodgers. They've been in a bit of a swoon. Is this just a statistical swoon over the course of a long season, or do you see some red flags for the Dodgers?
I think you hit it with the former, David, more ebb and flow. From a 13-2 start,
yep,
they've now gone 4-13. The only long-term problem, I think, is if all the pitching injuries don't work themselves out. Dustin May is lost for the year, but Tony Gonsolin on the injured list, David Price on the injured list. Kershaw lasted only one inning in his start the other day, but Kershaw, Buehler, Bauer, the depth they have, the quality lineup they have, over 162 games. I doubt anyone yet takes the Giants particularly seriously, though credit to them leading that division over the Dodgers and Padres, the two IT teams of the National League West and the whole National League. I think the Dodgers are still the long play call to win that division.
Who is your biggest surprise team thus far in the year?
Well, until a week ago, it would have been the Kansas City Royals of all teams that had the best run in the American League, but now they've been in a free fall since. It seems like about everyone in baseball is clustered within two or three games of 500. In the American League, I think every team is within five games of first place except for the Detroit Tigers, who are awful and are already nine games out. I would probably go with the Giants, pretty anonymous squad, and with all the hype to the emerging Dodgers-Padres rivalry, well, it's San Francisco with the early lead in the division, so I'd probably go with the Giants, and, well, why not the day after Willie Mays' 90th birthday?
Why not? And the Red Sox have been a bit of a surprise, too. Their pitching's been better than planned.
Yes. Yeah, I think that would be the American League team that, after losing the first three games, getting swept by the Orioles, and I'm sure all of New England was thinking, oh, boy, this is what we feared. The pitching, in contrast to the Dodgers have so much quality, proven pitching, you figure that water will find its level. In the Red Sox case, question mark after question mark after question mark, but the lineup is resurgent. J.D. Martinez, who went into an offensive coma in the short season, he couldn't watch his video in the dugout. He's back to mashing at an MVP level. And, you know, with the Yankees pitching question marks, Toronto's not a made man yet enough of a team. Those pesky Rays are floating around 500, but that's not the kind of squad you'll go out and make a big impact addition at the trade deadline. And even the Orioles are within one game of 500. So the American League East is it's a pretty balanced, solid division. I don't think it's going to take 95 wins plus to win that division this year, so maybe Boston can hang around.
He is Charlie Palillo. You can hear him on KFNC Houston 11-1 each weekday. You can also view his videos on sportsmap.com. Charlie, really appreciate your joining us here today.
Thank you.
Safe travels back.
All right, when we come back, well, there's some stats that now show one of the biggest things that happened in 2020.
Literally and figuratively.
We will come back to that when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.